good morning. It's so good to see everybody this morning on this snowy Sunday morning. And I think we got a little spoiled by the end of February when it got up around 70. And I think we were all wanting that kind of weather, but it's still March. But we are so glad that you are all here today. And we're glad that you've come into the house of the Lord to join together and experience God's grace and presence in our midst today. And a little bit later on, we'll be continuing our series on who is Jesus really. And so as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together for our call to worship this morning. Worship the Lord and sing God's praises.
We come with songs of thanksgiving.
Make a joyful noise for the rock, or to the rock of our salvation.
We rejoice in the Lord our God.
Drink of Christ's living water. Well, let's join together there, and we're going to sing our first hymn there, hymn number 247, Are You Washed in the Blood? And we're going to be singing all four verses this morning. Blood of the Lamb, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your souls be ready for the mansion's bride? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? The blood of the Lamb. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, let's join together there and for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Wellspring of life, you come to worship you. Refresh us this morning with your life-giving presence. Open us to the possibilities of encountering you as we lift your name in song, prayer, and word. Amen. And you may be seated. And our next hymn there is 519, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we are going to be singing two verses of that this morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Can invite our kids to come forward this morning if they would. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Now I have a question for you, and I think this is going to be an easy answer. Have you ever played hide and seek? Yes. Now, what goes on in hide and seek? Can somebody tell me what happens in hide and seek?
We play this. Now we are done.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. That's exactly right. So she's calling him the seeker who goes out and finds him, and the hiders. Okay, that's how she referred to him. So the seeker goes like this, don't they? And then the hiders go and hide. And so we go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you count to whatever, 10, 20, whatever. If you're out in a big area, you count to 20, don't you? And if you're in a smaller area, sometimes you'll count to 10. So that means you got to hide fast. But you got to take your time counting. And so when somebody hides, you can't see them anymore, can you? No. And there's an interesting passage in one of Paul's letters in the New Testament, in the Bible, where he's talking to a young pastor named Timothy. And he said, Timothy, God's presence is invisible to us. In other words, we can't see God.
I wish we could see God, because it'd be a whole lot easier to believe, wouldn't it? But God is invisible. It's like God is hiding, and we can't find God. But there's a lot of passages that tell us that if we seek after God, or try to find God, God will show God's self to us in one way or another. And that could be through other people, that could be just through circumstances, it could be while we're here in church, and we just have this feeling that God is with us, all of those things. And today, we know that Jesus, a long time ago, we celebrated every Christmas, was born into this world as a baby. And he cried, he needed milk, he needed food, and he grew up, he needed somebody to change his diaper. All of those things. We sometimes forget about that. Yeah, and Jesus went through pain and suffering. He was hungry, all just like we did. But we know that Jesus died on that cross. He was crucified. But we're also told that God raised him from the dead. And now he is with us here. Every time we gather, every time we come to worship, he goes with us every day. So in a sense, and I know this is kind of hard to understand, but he's kind of like that invisible friend. And I know that's not always a good way to say it, but that he's with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us and is with us. And he goes with us everywhere we go when we put our trust in him. And that's because God loves us and wants us to know that we're never alone. That God is always with us. And God did that because of Jesus when he came into the world. And that he's still with us. And so this week, when you're at school, or you're facing a tough day, or whatever it may be, just remember that Jesus is with us always. Okay, you guys can go ahead and head downstairs, and I think Miss Rhea got her class and activities going on downstairs with the kids this morning, and as they are heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer, and we want to quickly hear your joys and concerns this morning before we go to prayer. And then we have to move on because we have not only the message, but communion this morning. So, go ahead.
I'll try to be quick. My oldest daughter, Tia, in Columbus, was shot this week. And they were driving around the they stopped and there was a boy behind them. I guess it was his dog, and James, my son-in-law, saw him pull a gun and he told everybody to get down.
Oh my gosh.
The bullet missed my grandson's head by inches. If he hadn't gotten down, it hit my daughter Tia in the shoulder, and by miracle, nothing was hit. It was, she didn't need physical therapy or anything, but there's a lot of trauma.
Yes.
Prayers for that little 14-year-old boy that shot him. He's in prison now and can be there for a long time. Just a bad situation all around. I just thank God that Albert got down when he was told to.
Very much so. Wow. I can't even imagine that feeling of helplessness and everything that was going on in that situation. And so we want to pray for that family. What's the family's last name?
Lynch.
Lynch, okay. Let's remember the Lynch family this morning.
And I don't know the little boy who shot him. Really.
Okay. Well, I got him written down too, and we definitely want to pray for that boy. Whatever fear or whatever reason, anger or hurt. And we definitely need to pray for peace for that family today when she mentioned the trauma of all that and what goes with that. Wow. Somebody else, yes.
My nephew Jeff's evil side, sir, has throat cancer and mouth cancer. He can come to Ohio State.
Okay. What did you say his name was again?
Jeff Evil Side.
Jeff, okay.
That may be somebody you might want to fill out one of the prayer slips there, and definitely want to put him on our monthly list there with this mouth cancer. So we want to remember Jeff, and I saw, yeah. Okay, unspoken this morning. And somebody else, yep.
I have two. First, I have a joy. My friend Lisa Wells, her little girl's with me today. We found a heart surgeon who can work on her heart, and he says he can fix her heart.
Good.
So that's a good thing. And last Sunday, Noel's daddy and mom had went target shooting, and they come back, and Phil was cleaning the pistols, and there was a bullet that got caught in the chamber, and he shot himself in the leg.
I think I had heard something about that. Who was the name of that again? Her person?
Phil.
Okay, Phil. Yeah. So we want to remember Phil, and
he's still in the hospital.
Yeah, and definitely want to. I had heard something about that. That there was an accident, and then somebody got shot in the leg, and so we want to remember Phil this morning, and also for Lisa. About this heart issue and heart surgery there. Someone else. Yes.
I have a cousin that's, you know, she's got ovarian cancer. She's in stage 3.
Okay. Can you share her first name?
Christine,
okay.
She's also got some spots on her lungs that they did a needle biopsy on. So they still don't know about that yet.
Okay, yes. So we want to remember, that may be another one we might want to fill out a prayer slip for. So we want to remember Christine with ovarian cancer and the spots on her lung that they're not sure about yet. I thought I saw another hand.
Just keep the Hartzell family and Hartzell companies in your prayers as we lost Tom Hartzell this week.
So we want to remember the Hartzell family and definitely want to do that. And I thought I saw another hand.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. Anybody else this morning? Several there. We want to continue lifting up Mary Sue. I don't know if she probably hasn't come home yet. I'm not thinking. I saw her last week, but not this week. And we want to continue praying for Bill Wilkins and continue to pray for healing for him.
And his wife.
Yes, and Shauna, yes, I had heard that she is really getting burned out trying to take care of him and really needs a lot of grace and strength and definitely, and appreciate your prayers for her. She's really battled with God through all of this, and pray for her spiritually too, and just a lot going on there. Diana, I saw Diana Beasley this week. Seemed to be doing very good, in fact, in my opinion. And they said this was one of her bad days, but she seemed to be doing very well since the last time I had seen her. So appreciate your prayers for her, and so lots of people to pray for there this morning, and it may be somebody else you think of. As she plays the music there quietly this morning, give you a chance to pray there quietly in your seats, and maybe you can lift up needs there that you may know about too. And then I'll close us out. Gracious God, we're so grateful that we can come into your presence and that you are here with us today. and that you meet us where we are in life. And Lord, we're thinking about people this morning that have been mentioned that are in need of grace and help and healing and strength. And so we want to lift them up to you today, asking that you would come and meet and work in their lives in various ways, Lord. We pray for Mary Sue, asking for your continued strength for her. We ask for your continued healing. We pray for Bill this morning, God, your continued healing and recovery after surgery. And for his wife, Shauna, Lord, who has just been struggling with everything that's been going on and is in need of not only strength, but grace and faith and so many things right now as she is struggling and doubting and fearful. And we just ask that you administer to her. We pray for this family, Lord, the Lynch family that was in this shooting this past week in Columbus, God. And Lord, we lift up Celia, Lord, with the shot in the shoulder, Lord. We just ask for your healing touch there. We pray for this 14-year-old boy that whatever reason, his anger, his whatever may be going on in his life, decided to do this. We ask that you would work. Lord, we pray for the family and ask that you would bring peace and strength today through this trauma and healing, Lord, as only you can do. May you be the balm of Gilead and that you would give them beauty for their ashes right now as they are struggling with everything that's going on, the fear and all that is set in. Lord, we pray for your touch there. We pray for Jeff, Lord, has this mouth cancer, Lord. We ask for your healing touch there and wisdom for the doctors. We pray for Lisa, Lord. We lift her up to you, whatever is going on with her heart and needing of this heart surgery. We just ask for your healing and strength there and guide and direct the surgeon. We pray for Phil, Lord, who accidentally shot himself in the leg. Lord, we just pray and lift up him today for your healing touch there. We pray for Christine, Lord, who's been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and they're concerned about these spots on her lung. We just ask for your healing touch and grace there today. We pray for wisdom for the doctors and guidance through all of that, Lord. Lord, we pray for the Hartzell family, Lord, with the loss of this loved one, that your grace and your comfort and strength will be with them today. Lord, we pray for these three unspoken needs today, Lord, and we pray that your touch will be upon each of those needs. You know what they are, and so we commit them into your hands. We pray for Diana Beasley, Lord, and ask your continued strength and touch for her will be with her. And Lord, I pray for maybe there is some during the prayer time lifted up some needs or people or whatever situations that maybe they couldn't share about, but they are in need of your touch today. We ask that you administer as only you can do. And we pray that your hand would work as only you can do, the one who can make possibilities out of impossible situations. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of our time in the service as we break the bread of your word. May you feed our souls and let us know that we are never alone, whatever we're going through in life, and that you, Jesus, are with us. And we pray that as we come to your table today, we ask you, Jesus, to be real to us, your presence to just overwhelm us and touch us and fill us with your grace and your hand and your healing and your mercy today. Whatever needs may be needed today. Maybe some of us need to just lay down heavy burdens we've been carrying around. And may they receive of your light yoke today, Lord, as only you can do those things. And we thank you for what you're going to do and that how you're going to be with us this week as we go forward. As we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And it's quite a walk to know that God is the one that takes care of us every day as we trust in the Lord. And God asks us to share and be givers. And so as we do that today, God bless you as you give. Join together there for our prayer of dedication. Loving God, with our gifts we offer you our very selves. Bless all that we offer so that our gifts may become grace to those in need and further your ministry here in this place. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from three passages that we're going to look at here this morning. First of all, we're going to look at our Matthew passage, and then one extra Matthew passage, one that you're very familiar with that I will often speak of. And then we're going to look at some verses out of two chapters in John this morning. Matthew 16:15, the one we're familiar with. And what about you? Who do you say that I am? And then Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them. And then John chapter 1, verse 14, verses 16 through 17. The Word became flesh and made His home among us. We have seen His glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. And then John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, and then verse 26. I will ask the Father, and He will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees Him nor recognizes Him. You know Him because He lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you, the companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that God would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us this morning. And amen and amen this morning. Well, two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted towards the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they wouldn't make it. Terrified, one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion, "because the bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I'll just say the only prayer that I ever heard my father use repeatedly at the table. Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." I want to talk to you this morning about encountering Jesus as presence. As presence. So who is Jesus really? I remember when I held all of my children for the first time. You probably can remember that too. And what joy filled my heart in those moments, seeing them and holding them for the first time. With Karis, who the cord was wrapped around her waist and wouldn't come down, we had to go through a C-section, to Emily, who was born normally. Each of them I held, and then the very first time we sat on the floor in Seoul, Korea, in an apartment, and we saw Chase. And the mother that was taking care of him at the time, foster mother, he was 10 months. She goes, "Opa, Uma." And his face lit up and he crawled over and he came and I picked him up and held him for the first time. The whole process of birth is messy. Unpredictable and even dangerous at times. And John chapter 1 lets us know that God became flesh and blood in Jesus. And in our reading today, Jesus invites us to experience Him as a living, risen presence. But there was a process to that. And what did that involve? So my question for us this morning is, what does it mean when we speak of Jesus as presence? And I'm going to give you the broad picture this morning so you can see what God was up to and what God continues to be up to in our lives today. First thing I want you to see is in Jesus, we experience God's glory. God's glory. So let's begin by saying it this way. Because of Jesus, humans experience God's wonderful presence. That's what we mean by God's glory. We're talking about God's presence. In the Old Testament, in the First Testament, God's visible glory or presence, which Jews to this day, and even in the Old Testament, was called the Shekinah. I don't know if you've ever heard of anybody talk about the Shekinah glory of God. It's the visible presence of God. And that presence of God would show up from time to time among God's people in various ways. One of the ways is found in the book of Exodus, where God's presence was in the cloud that went along with the Israelites through the wilderness during the day. And at night, there was a fire that lit up in that cloud and led them through the wilderness at night. And every time they saw that, they knew God was with them. God's presence also showed up in a cloud of smoke that appeared in the wilderness tabernacle, where when they, as they traveled through the wilderness and they would stop from time to time, God gave them instructions about a tabernacle that they were to build and put up so that they could worship God, and God's presence would come and hover above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. God also appeared in that magnificent temple. Even Jesus went there every day in the first century. John tells us that the first followers of Jesus experienced Him. In fact, John says it with two of the verbs in our reading and then three of them in 1 John. What are those words? Seen, touched, and heard. Think about that for a minute. Seen, touched, and heard the Word in Jesus, who became flesh and blood and dwelt with us. That word that is used there in the New Testament, its background word is Shekinah. God's presence, glorious presence, visible presence. So in other words, John is telling us that God visibly has showed up in the world in the human person, Jesus. And He walked among human beings and He revealed God's glory. You can read about it throughout the rest of John's gospel, where John talks about how Jesus revealed not only God's glory, but as we read in our reading this morning, that we've experienced, or they said they experienced God's grace. And it wasn't just grace in one moment, it was grace upon grace. Human beings experience the mystery of God's presence and glory in that human being, Jesus, who John says was full of grace and truth. And here's what I want you to see this morning. Jesus was born into the world as a human being like us. That's why I shared that story about when I first held my daughters and my son. Notice these words from Matthew. We say it every Advent season. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Now, probably all through our history, and I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of guilty of this too. Every time we've read that, every time we've emphasized it, we always emphasize Christ and Lord and Messiah and all of those words. But I want to draw your attention to a different word this morning in that reading. Born. Born. Mary's body was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and brought forth the tiny body of God, so to speak. Her water breaking and bloody birth made possible, as John tells us in John chapter 20, the water and the blood that flowed from Jesus' side just before he died on that cross some 30 years later. In other words, what am I trying to say? Jesus was present in flesh and blood to remind us that God dwells in and cares about bodies. Now, I know, we live in a day and an age where we look at ourselves in the mirror and we're like, yeah, I don't really like my body. We know statistically that that is a big issue for ladies, for women. But us guys sometimes can struggle with that too. But here's the thing. Jesus shared our bodily existence. Jesus went through and shared our bodily functions and needs, including pain and passion, hunger and rest. And he demonstrated that God is concerned for our bodies. How did he do that? By feeding people that were hungry, by healing people that were sick or afflicted or ill. All of this tells me that in Jesus, we experience God's glory. And there's a reason why I talk about our bodies. And that's going to lead us into the next part. And that is, Jesus continues with us today as the risen one in two ways. In two ways. None of these are going to be a surprise to us. I think we know this, but I just want you to think about it a little bit differently this morning. Jesus is present with us through the Holy Spirit. That's where we read the John 14 passages this morning there, and how Jesus said that the Father, if I go, if I leave my present earthly existence, and he said, when I go back to the Father, I will glorify God and he will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his followers that God would send, and you don't always catch this in the English translations because of the word that's used there. There's a Greek word that's used there. Well, let me just explain it. So there's two Greek words for another. One, that means another that is totally different. And there's another, I'm getting it confusing. A second Greek word means another that is of the same kind. And Jesus says here, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit that is of the same kind as me. That's how we say Jesus is with us. That's how we say, or why we say Jesus is in my heart and in my life. That's how we say that he walks with us. Because John says the companion, the Holy Spirit, is the one who is present with us and in us. And through the Spirit, we continually experience the presence of Jesus today, who guides us and teaches us and comforts us and leads us, and oh, so many other things. Second thing, Jesus is present with us when we gather in his name. It's kind of a collective thing. When we gather in his name, we experience the presence of Jesus. The Apostle Paul uses this corporate solidarity. When he speaks of it in that kind of, that it's a corporate thing, by using the metaphor that we refer to as the body of Christ. Christ is the head and we are the body. And we When we gather in His name, we experience Him in a unique way. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord makes us one body, one faith, one baptism, and one church of Jesus Christ. And we are made different. Let me say it this way. We make a difference together, not alone. I know in American thinking, we always stress, what am I going to do? How about what I can I make a difference? But the teaching of the New Testament is that we make a difference together. Until recently, scientists could only theorize why geese fly in a V formation. So they decided to do a study. They strapped heart monitors around geese and turned them loose and taught them how to follow behind a small airplane. They discovered, listen to this, that the heart rates of the birds were lower when they fly together in a V formation rather than flying solo. As they did, it allowed them to glide more often, conserve energy, reduce air resistance, and to cover longer distances. In fact, a flock of geese can fly 70% further by adopting the V shape together that you see when they fly over your pond or wherever. We, like geese, were created to journey together and support one another. When we encourage each other, we can accomplish amazing things more often than journeying alone. Who is Jesus? He is the one who embodies and reveals God's glorious presence with us and in us when we gather in His name through the Holy Spirit. And He invites us to experience His love and grace and to know that He is with us in this messy life. May we experience Jesus anew. May we experience God's glory and grace and know we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We are part of the body of Christ. We face life and make differences together, for He is with us. Next week, we will encounter Jesus as universal. We'll talk more about that. Who are you, Jesus? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and prepare our hearts this morning for communion. And so we're going to begin like we always do with our thanksgiving and confession. And so I'm going to invite you, if you would, this morning to join with me as we pray together there. So let's join together. When all seems lost, Lord, and we are afraid to begin again, inspire our hearts with hope. When all our problems seem overwhelming, give us courage to carry on our daily living in faith. When we think only of ourselves and seek only what we want without concern for others, help us to see that our strength is in our union, in gathering and working together in Your name. Forgive us and send Your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and vine, that in sharing them we may discern Your presence, which is our life. Amen. Receive of His grace, receive of His life today as we share at the table. I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are helping us out this morning, if they would make their way as we begin to share together this morning. Thank you.
On that night when they gathered together, Jesus gave thanks and he broke the bread. He said, take, eat it, and do it in remembrance of me, my body which is given for you. Let's partake. Later that time, in the time that they were together, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it. He says, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it, and do it in remembrance of me. Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, we're almost there at the end, so we're just going to go ahead and stand, and I think we're going to go right into our chorus there about the presence of the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place this morning. If you want to go out of the hymn book, it's 314. Surely the presence of the Lord. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence.
Well, let's join together for our benediction. We have encountered the living Christ in worship. May God's love strengthen us, Christ's mercy refine us, and the Spirit's power enliven us. Amen.
This is my story.